Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on this resurrection day. Amen. Christ is alive. He's alive forevermore. Amen. He's not in that tomb is empty right now. Amen. And he's alive and hopefully alive in your hearts this morning. If you have Christ, amen. He said that he'd be alive. Amen. You are a living witness of his resurrection. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shake somebody's hand this morning. Tell them God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. And that same spirit, amen, that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So let's just sing about that this morning. Jesus said it. Is expedient for me to go away, but I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarry at Jerusalem for power from on high. That same spirit. Like a mighty rushing wind, but that same spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise it. Soldiers there to go.
chorus one more time. Oh, I can feel it. Holy Spirit, dwell deep within. Feel so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that reigns like Jesus upon them.
We have, amen. Amen. If the head rose, amen, the body goes, rises with it. And we are his body. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a promise that we have. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Let's sing that song, In Christ Alone. Key of D. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, striving seas, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Oh, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Kneel on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground, there in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. Stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns me home. Here in the power of Christ, no power of hell, no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns, calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. We don't have to fear anything. Satan's been defeated. Why fear him? Amen. That death has been defeated. Hell has been defeated. Amen. He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And that same power dwells in you this morning. Praise the Lord Jesus. We want to have some specials this morning. And then we'll have Brother Colley come and give us the... After the, I guess the first special. So, I think Kate, you all have a special, Zoe. We'll then have you guys go first.
Came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all.
Walked out of my grave clothes and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all. Dry bones come alive, and he conquered death. And because he did it, I can do it too. Well, I walked out of my grave clothes, and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all. Walked out of my grave clothes, and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all.
He breathed in me. He made these dry bones come alive. He conquered death. And because he did it, I can do it too.
I walked out of my grave clothes and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all. Walked out of my grave clothes and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all.
Because he did it, I can do it too.
Well, I walked out of my grave clothes and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all. Walked out of my grave clothes and I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all. Walked out of my grave clothes. And I came out in a new robe. I was buried there for too long. Now I come alive in the one who has conquered it all.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We appreciate that. Amen. Have you walked out of your grave clothes? Or are you still moping and sad and depressed? Amen. Amen. He's alive this morning. We appreciate that, special sisters. Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise one more time. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to go ahead and do our responsive reading, and then after that, we'll have the next special. But I just wanted to greet all the visitors here with us this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We greet you this morning. We appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. For being able to worship with us. Amen.
Amen. Brother Anderson, I have a change for you. We're going to read from verse 6 through 21 in the same chapter, 107. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 107. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be back this morning. I thought, as we got started last night and let Brother Dart out, and my eyes got there, I couldn't see. But I knew the word that we had heard before we left, the resurrection. So I knew then that we don't have to worry. Just go. God made a way that I could see.
Amen.
I got up this morning. Of course, the devil got up with me. I looked for things, couldn't find them, couldn't find my shoes and what I wanted. And I thought during the week I got my clothes ready for what I wear for today. Evidently, I put on the wrong shirt, the sleeve wasn't buttoned right. So I said, well, that's all right. I'm just going to go on.
That's right.
Wear this same shirt.
That's right. Amen.
I said, well, I got my pants on. They zipped in the front. And I'm fast. Now I'm ready to go. So just thank God for it. So just pray with me that God will guide me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this day and for this hour. Lord, we know that you're always with us. Lord, you're kind. Lord, you lead us through many dark places. God, when we think that we can't go, Lord, you are there to bless us and lead us on. We thank you for the services yesterday. God, and we ask that you would just bless us again today in a mighty way. Father, for we know that you will be with us and guide us. Bless each and every heart. Father, everyone that have a need in their hearts and in their body, God, we pray that you would deliver and give them strength that it be made whole. And we thank you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 6 through 21. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, being bound in affliction and iron.
Because they rebelled against the words of God and they condemned the counsel of the Most High.
Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there were none to help.
And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
And he brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death, and break their bonds asunder.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works of the children of men.
For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder.
Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted.
Their souls harbored all manner of meat, and they drew near unto the gates of death.
And then cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and they saved them out of their distresses.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for the wonderful works of the children of men. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So glad that Jesus, amen, didn't die just for our sins. He died, amen, to pay the price for your healing as well. Amen. He died so that you can be free, amen, from all those things. Amen. Your healing, amen, this morning is purchased. Amen. Your healing has been bought. All you got to do is claim it. Amen. It's yours. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to have the youth come and prepare themselves for their special. Praise the Lord.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. An ocean, so I wouldn't drown.
You've never been closer than you are right now.
And you are
Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. always enough,
always
more than enough.
He is
forever enough, always enough, more than enough.
I don't wanna forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about.
So stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now.
Sing Jireh.
Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Always enough, more than enough.
I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved,
more than I could imagine. That is enough.
I'm already loved.
I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved. More than I could imagine.
Imagine.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough. How much more?
Jireh,
Jireh, you are enough.
Circumstance,
and you are
Jireh,
you are enough.
It's more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, it's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
Does He love you?
It's how much more does He love you?
More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, it's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
So much more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, it's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
How much more? Enough, Jireh, you are enough.
I will be content
in
every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Will be content in every circumstance,
and you are
Jireh, you are
enough. The Lord Jesus. Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank God for that. Amen. I was told that Sister Rita Montgomery has a special. So
if she wants to go ahead and make her way down here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise once again.
Looked inside Some have gone to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes.
Yes.
But in Jerusalem, there is a garden where old Joseph left to lay the precious lamb, God's own begotten, but he's no longer in that step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust just one step in his direction? Dead in love, he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you
the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Sister Rita. We appreciate it. Amen. That's a wonderful song. Amen. Death has died. I like that. That's the best part of it. Death has died. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Michael, you want to come help us take up our offering this morning?
Amen.
edifying, Lord, for the body. Lord, we need to spirits on
fire. Amen. Praise God. Man, why don't we just sing this song, God is Good, all the time? Brother Chris was alluding to this several times yesterday. And it was requested as well for us to sing this. So I thought two or three witnesses, amen. There they are right there. Let every word be established. So why don't we just stand to our feet, amen. Let's just sing this.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time.
Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. Worship Him.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
Clap your hands.
Everlasting, and His mercies, they
Man, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have the visitors. We got Brother Sonny and Sister Marianne in the back. Good to see y'all. And then obviously Sister Rita with us. I wasn't going to let her out of the building without singing a song. She's got a lot of talent. And if you got talent, guess what? Use it. Use it for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Good to see our visitor there with Sister Barbara. I guess you, Sister Barbara, are you with you? You, well, you're not a visitor. But good to see Chi and Roger with us. Good to have them with us today. It's a pleasure to see them. And if I missed anybody, forgive me. But we're here to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we had a wonderful service Friday night. Good Friday. Amen. What were you doing? We were here. It was a good Friday.
Amen.
Amen. We had a good time. Brother Dutch Scott just did give us a masterpiece, and we sure appreciate that. And then also yesterday we had our fellowship meeting. Brother Chris poured his heart out to us. Well, today we have no second service, so he's going to just preach as long as he wants to preach. And he's going to tell you, listen, if Jesus Christ can hang on the cross for 3 hours with nails in his hands, come on somebody, with nails in his feet, his back tore all to pieces, up against that, it wasn't a slick cross either. They didn't have a planer back then. It was so rough. If he can hang for 3 hours, me and you can hang for 3 hours in this building.
Amen.
Listen to the word of the Lord. Because he's risen. He's out of the grave. Yesterday, a lot of silence. He was still working. But today, as Brother Dutch was talking about, those feet now came out of that tomb. Amen? He came out of that tomb with a roar. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And then what did he say he's going to do with it? He's going to just take it back to heaven and he's just going to keep it to himself, right? No? No, he said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, my children. So you're a recipient of that. And for those of you that are born again today, you know he's risen. There's no doubt in your mind that he came out of that grave. And now he lives inside of our heart. And I hope today that he does the same thing again that he did yesterday. Is give us a message that we can hear and that we can receive what's going on. Thank all you sisters yesterday for that wonderful meal. It was always good. So we appreciate you doing that. We appreciate all the effort that everybody's given during this meeting for the weekend. I know it takes a lot, but we appreciate you. We appreciate your support, and we appreciate you coming. Amen. And we thank you for being here to listen to the word of the Lord. Brother Chris Long, some of you may not know him. He's from Flagstaff, Arizona, and brought his lovely wife, Sister Joanna, with him. And she celebrated a birthday out here, and she'll be on Social Security pretty quick. So, praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lordy. But good to have everybody here. And Jenny's birthday will be tomorrow. So we got several birthdays. But next Sunday, remember, for those of you that go to church here or decide to want to come to church here, next Sunday we'll have cake and ice cream after the second service because Brother Dale's birthday will be next Sunday on April the 16th. He will be 83, so we're going to have a birthday party for him after the second service. So just keep those things in your mind. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as Brother Chris comes to bring the word of the Lord. I told him to take his time, and we may do some singing afterwards because we got nowhere else to go. If there's a better place for you to go right now, you need to go on out the door.
Right.
Not trying to be mean. If there's a better place that you think you need to be, you need to go out that door right there. Because right here is where God's going to talk to us.
Right
here today in this temple, he's going to take your tabernacle and he's going to use that tabernacle to speak to your tabernacle.
Right.
And if it's the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, it's going to always come together. Are you going to be the most uncomfortable person that ever lived on the face of this earth? And I hope you are. Because I became comfortable in the world one time. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one. I became comfortable in the world, but the world now is totally uncomfortable. This is comfortable. This is where I feel at home. This is where I feel my family is. Amen? My heavenly family. My father's here today. My father, my daddy is here today. And you know what? His bride's here today. So we got all the family here. We just want you to pull on the gift of that family member as he's going to bring the message. So let's welcome Brother Chris Long.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
We want to see him today. We want to see the Lord, the risen Lord.
I want to see you.
Think about it.
Who we've come to see this morning. Do you really want to see him? You just turn around and say, God bless you, brother. I see him right now. Amen. You should be able to see him in each and every one of us this morning. If he's living in our hearts, that was his plan. To condescend down from an invisible God to visibility, to tangibility. Amen. I like it. Amen. Makes me feel good. Amen. Because now we know what life's purpose really is. Amen. God bless you this morning. I'm just real pleased, and it's a real pleasure and a real privilege to be in the house of God with each and every one of you. And I can't think of a better place to be unless we were all over on the other side. And we were given testimonies of what God has done for us. Amen. Now, of course, we're here this morning to honor the resurrection. And, of course, it is the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we just want to ask the Lord to help us this morning to be able to come to a conclusion. I didn't say this before, but it has been said in the previous two services by comments that were made, and that is that our purpose, the reason why we're here, is the conclusion of the whole matter.
Amen.
It really is. God is good all the time. Love him with all my heart. We're just going to get right into the message, if that's okay. I still want you to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 11. I'm going to start out this morning again on something in the Bible that took place on Friday night before the crucifixion, so that we can really come to an understanding of what or who was really crucified. Amen. The world celebrates it as the man, and we, of course, keep the Hoffman's Head at 33 painting, a copy of it there, because the prophet of God said that in all the different places that he'd seen him, that's the artist that captured pretty much what he looked like when he was a man here on earth.
Amen.
And today there is a celebration, of course, around the world, Easter, And they focus so much on the man that they forget about God. We're interested in God in the man. Amen. Now, I believe that was the God-man. I believe that was the vessel that God used, that God created, that God brought into existence so that he could fulfill his plan to live amongst his attributes, his children, which are you and I. We're going to find out this morning what really was crucified on Calvary. It was not just a man. Amen. Romans 8:11. Listen careful now. Watch this scripture. But if the Spirit, now that's a capital S. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now watch careful. It doesn't say, but if the word of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. It says, but if the Spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead. Now, I thought they were one and the same. And they are. But the word Christ is used so that God can separate himself from one being into many. Christ is the anointing. Or the anointed one. Or the anointed ones. That he raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive. Now, activate, give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me now. Lord, as we go through your word, Father, and find the places, Lord, where you are revealing to us, Lord, where we came from, who we are, and our final destination, Lord. Help us all, I pray, Lord. Let life activate itself in the hearts of the believers, Lord. Let this Spirit quicken that body word, Lord, that's laying within us, Father, so that we also, Lord, could not just have that life, but become that life, Lord. That's your perfect plan. This morning, Lord, we yield and surrender to you. And we'll always be careful to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, he did hang on Calvary for 3 hours so that you would not have to sit here and suffer me to preach 3 hours. It's okay. Paul said, if I could just deliver 5 words of understanding, just 5, I will have accomplished more than all of the unknown tongues that come into existence. Is that right? So let me start out like this, if you would. Now, if it's all right, we had Sunday school, but I feel like we're still in Sunday school this morning. And we want to cover some scriptures. I have right here in front of me what I'd like to read out of the message of the hour, if it'll just stay illuminated for me. I haven't come to the place in my life where I am a gadget guy. But I do like the things that make life easier and make life better for us. Most of the time, they become a distraction. And Satan is the god of distraction. But we don't care. It's like the automobile. We use it because it came into existence and it's faster than walking. It gets us to where we need to be. You can live much further away from your place of worship or your place of work than you used to be able to live. In times past, you had to live at least a horse and buggy distance or walking distance away. Now, they come from the east and west. They come from a land afar. Amen. So I thought maybe I'd start out real, and I'm a simple guy. I love God's word. Now we receive God. God delivers himself in simplicity. Is that right? But God himself is certainly far from what we would consider to be simple. He's the creator of all that exists.
And of course, science is confounded by the fact that they can't come to an understanding of where it all began. They are looking for it, and they will never find it in the way that they're looking. Because now remember something about science. It does require a certain amount of faith, because they're employing themselves to look into areas that are without understanding, and they're trying to figure out how to get there. Now, I'll tell you this, as I've said it before, the Word of God is how you do it. But you still have to put your faith in the Word of God. All right, so I would like for you to turn to begin this morning's lesson to St. John chapter 18. Now, the more that I indulge in the Word of God, I'd say study, and it does say to study yourself to be approved. The more I indulge in God's Word, the more I find out that the book of John is the very reason why that he was chosen by God to go out on the Isle of Patmos and be used as what we call John the Revelator. Because John's character and makeup seemed to have a particular way about itself. And he by his simplicity, remember he was the disciple that always was always seen laying sort of in the bosom. You know, either Jesus was always hugging him to hang on to him, or he was always hugging Jesus to get something from him. It worked both ways. You know, you wouldn't think that Jesus needed a prop, but he was a man. He was somebody, the character of love, who wanted to express and extend that love. And very few people understood that at the time he was here. It was like Brother Dutch saying that on Friday night, that the disciples and all the followers of Jesus, and I'll say it like this, perhaps just the 120 who made it to the upper room. Now think about, Jesus was God in the flesh. He wasn't just a preacher or a prophet. He was God in the flesh. Amen. And at the end of his life and all of the sermons that he preached and the love that he projected and all of the profound statements that he made, there were only 120 people. Wow. Who somehow caught the essence that this must be more than a man. There's something more to him than just a fellow walking through the streets of Galilee. And we probably ought to put our faith, or what little or what much we have, in what he said. 120. Now, I'm not good at guessing numbers. There must be 60, 80, 100 here this morning. Now, so we're almost to the size of the entire class that ended up. That's why fear not, little flock. That's why the prophet said it would, at the end, it would just be a small amount of people. Now, you know, that I say this to my church, because we're only a third of the size maybe of what you've got here in membership, and some ministers take those statements that Brother Branham made, like fear not, little flock, out of the scripture, and that it would be a small group and that you'd be the minority, and they try to enforce that. You know what I mean by that? They try to keep the group small by rubbing people the wrong way. I mean, can I use a phrase? Ticking them off. Okay, I know. Yeah. I'll bet. And people get all, see? They think they're fulfilling the scripture by doing that. I don't agree with that. It's to whosoever will. As many or as few would come. But I'm seeing this morning something that I would like to convey to you to start, and that is, really, really, did they crucify a man, or were they trying to silence the God in the man? So you got St. John 18. They couldn't silence the God in the man, so they had to get rid of the man. But what they didn't realize
is you can't kill God. So God said, I'll show them. They'll try to silence me, but I'm not going to be silenced. I'll continue to work through the same vessel that they thought they were going to silence me through. I will raise it up from the dead. I will re-enter that vessel, and I will continue to use that vessel. Amen? So if you got St. John 18, lots of places to start from. And I think maybe verse 28, if you're okay with that, Jesus brought before Pilate, would that be okay? Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Now, where does judgment begin? Judgment, according to St. Peter, begins at the house of God. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Do you know why? Because they didn't want to, it's going to say this, lest they should be defiled. Why wouldn't they want to go into the place where God said judgment begins? Because they were self-righteous and they did not think they had any impediments that required for them to go into the judgment hall. And if they in fact were seen going into the judgment hall, as you are seen coming into the house of God this morning, people might think, oh, they must have something wrong with them. I got lots of things wrong with me. So I throw myself at the mercy of the court of God's word so that I can be, watch now, loved by God. What are you saying, brother? Judgment and love? Judgment begins at the house of God, and the prophet of God said, love is corrective always. Now, correction does not always mean punishment. See, we equate it with punishment because when dad takes you to the woodshed, he isn't going out there to sit on a stump and talk with you. He's meting out punishment because we're in a body of flesh. Still with me? Verse 28 now. But that they might eat the Passover. 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, what does that mean? That means a bad character. Okay? We would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. What a pack of hypocrites. They were bringing him to a place where they knew that their own judgment and justice would be meted out upon this man and that the penalty would be death. Hypocrites. Do we know anybody like that? The world is in this condition right now. And it's all leading up to one thing. The demise of true Christianity. Not Christianity the way the world wants it to be painted. I just read a headline come across my phone a week ago where the Pope, who is considered by the world the head of Christianity, and he had the audacity to make this statement that Ramadan, and I'm not against the Muslim communities, is important to Christianity. No, it's important to the Pope. Because he is going to be, you don't see in the world we live in right now, you don't see much about the Pope. Well, it happens to be because the man that's in the office right now is not the man that's going to do the deed. That man that they call Pope, whatever his name is not the man. Because God sent a prophet, and that prophet told us, and I believe what that prophet said, he said that that pope that would cause
The world to go into the tribulation is coming out of the United States. Did you know that? Have you read that? And you say, well, no, the board of the committee that's going to select and elect the next pope or the next three popes, they got nobody on the list. You don't need to be on their list. He's on God's list. Let's keep reading. Because I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? But it won't be 3 hours. Don't you worry about that. All right. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Verse 32. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate, see, they were fulfilling prophecy. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now watch, it gets a little thick right here. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it? Does that ring a bell? Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say you're this, and some say you're that, and some say you're that, and some say you're a prophet, some say you're... Hey, yeah, but I want to know who you think. Who you believe, what revelation you personally have of who I am. That's really what he's asking Pilate. Okay? Watch now. Pilate answered. Wrong answer. It wasn't thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. You mean his servants actually would have fought for him if this world was his kingdom? Well, I can tell you that the Bible says that Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and Satan and his angels. So there is a battle going on. It's been going on since the beginning of creation. Creation is when God brought something out of nothing. He brought something out of an eternal being and brought it down into time. Time began as soon as creation began. Because this God we serve, and please don't try to figure this out, you will go insane. He had no beginning. A human being says, well, he had to start somewhere. That's the human being. They didn't crucify him for being a good man. They crucified him, watch now, for being an instrument in time. That an eternal being existed in.
Amen.
Without beginning and without end. Every child of God, whether you realize it or not this morning, had no beginning. Oh, no, brother. I was born December the 11th, 1956 at such and such a time. That's my birthday. But there was something about me. About you, something that brought you into existence. We're always looking back at it the other way. What brought us into existence? Did you know that the prophet of God said that the gene germ of Levi was activated in Abraham? But he was a great-grandson. But the germ was activated in Abraham. How? How in the world did you get here through your ancestry when we know that the germ of life that produced you came from your father? It was because Abraham simply paid tithes. And that tithe paying that would eventually reach the priesthood of Levi down through several generations was the activation of the germ of Levi. Now, that's the natural. What we want this morning is the activation of that eternal germ. You say, well, it had to start somewhere. The spoken word is the original seed. The word seed means beginning. Did you know that? If you read in Genesis, you find out that the first thing that came into existence, watch it now, was not light. Oh, brother, I've got it right here in Genesis. But did you read the scripture? And God said, let there be light. So before light, there was sound. There was a voice. There was something that came out of something and spoke. And right there, the original seed came into existence. Now, remember something, and I've probably preached this here before, but it's okay. Some of you don't know me. I'm going to give it to you the way that God has given it to me. Do you all believe that Adam came from God? If Adam came from God, then Adam was eternal. Adam had... Had... eternal life. What do you mean he had eternal life? You just told us that if you are God's son or daughter, that you never had a beginning. That's right. See, I wanted this morning to take the time to define what was really crucified. Like I was beginning to say last night, the real me, the real you, Brother Luis, is not the man I see. It's not even the man I hear. It's not the man I pay attention to. There's another you in there. He's the one you go to bed at night with. He's the one you keep secrets from all your... He's the one who knows that whether you did right or wrong. He's she or he. It's the person. Okay? So remember, in Genesis... let us make man in our image and after our likeness. We are told and believe that that was a spirit man because it was made in the image of God. Amen. And I believe it's in St. John 4:24 where it says God is a spirit. Amen. Now you cannot kill and you cannot crucify a spirit. Amen. Spirits come into existence, of course, and can be taken out of existence, but you cannot crucify a spirit. So I take this piece of paper. And Brother Luis, okay if I use you for an example? You see, I'm going to use Brother Luis this morning as not the fallen Adam, but Adam the Son of God. How's that? Amen. Now, this piece of paper represents eternal life. A portion of God like the lick of fire. The lick of fire that fell on the day of Pentecost and came into the hearts of the believers was a portion of the eternal being of God, but being represented in a lick of fire. So that it could be seen, it could be identified, it could be talked about, it could be written down about, it could be conveyed. But how are you going to convey a spirit here? I'm going to convey the spirit right now. That's God's spirit right there. Now, Adam had eternal life. And that eternal life was based on one premise, and that premise was keep my word. So therefore, if you have to keep his word in order to maintain eternal life, his word and his life are one. Now, when Adam chose to save a part of himself, which we call Eve, he had to make a decision. And that decision was, do I give up what God has given me to save her, or do I let her go? Adam, being a son of God, Adam having a portion of God, had a revelation. What was his revelation? I'm going to lay my life down because I have a representation that's going to raise it up again. May I have that, Brother Luis? I know you don't want to give up your eternal life, but it's only temporary. It lasted less than 3 days when God decided, I'm going to make myself the perfect example. Now, Brother Branham said that when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit to save Eve's life, it was Christ. So the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if it dwell in you, it will, and you don't realize it, brothers and sisters, maybe, but the preaching of the word is the quickening power, not because it's the letter on the page, not because it's a repeating of what someone else said, but because it's life coming through a vessel and then conveying a word from God that activates the seed inside of you and say, I see that. That's it. That's life. I didn't know when I was lost and undone in the world, Brother Donnie, that there was something inside of me that was crying and groaning and wishing for something better. But I would sit down with a can of beer and a marijuana cigarette and sit there and say, is this it? I had friends that did the same thing, and I don't remember any of them sitting down and saying, is this it? What was it in me? What was it in you?
Come on, brother. Come on, right now.
Amen. Let me finish the scripture. Amen. Let me get to a point. You still here?
Amen.
Jesus answered, my kingdom, verse 36, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus, I don't see how he got that question out of that answer. Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Listen, you mean by a question? Just the very fact, Jesus knew just the very fact that this was permeating inside of Pilate. Yep. Art thou a king? Thou hast said. No, I didn't say that. I asked you. The question revealed to Jesus that Pilate knew. But he was unwilling to admit. Because Pilate also was a man of authority. All right? But I want to get down to this part. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, watch now, heareth my voice. Why? Because the spoken word is the original seed, and the original seed is truth. And Pilate goes on and says, what is truth? Did you realize right there indicates to us they were crucifying the truth? Because they didn't want the truth? I looked up the word truth. And it says actuality, fact, fidelity, which is similar to faith or faithful.
Right.
And constancy, like constant, comes from the root of true, the word true. And true means ideal, essential, consistent, typical, steadfast, loyal, honest, just, legitimate, rightful, and accurate. So really, really the confusion for Pilate was, what is essential? What is ideal? See, he's asking, what is truth? What is consistent? What is typical? What is steadfast? What is loyal? See, these are the definitions. We'd say synonyms, but the definitions of truth. And he says, what is truth?
Amen. Right.
He didn't have a clue.
That's right.
What is honest? What is just? What is legitimate? What is rightful?
Yeah, right.
What is accurate?
Yeah.
Do you know where the word true came from? Now, this is not a pun or a play on words, but the very root of the word true comes from the word tree. That's what my dictionary said, same one you all can use. The Merriam-Webster. And I saw that and I said, oh, Brother Donnie. I'm going to tell you what came to me.
Yeah.
Two trees.
Right. 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 Yep. Amen.
What looks like two truths.
Right.
Jesus said, if you're of the truth, you will hear me. Right. He says, what is truth? I don't understand.
Yep. Amen. Wow. Good. Amen.
That's because of the two trees.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. He that heareth my word... He that believeth truth, that would be those that came from the tree of life. Those that are asking the question like Pilate would have to emanated from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see how there's a contrast now. There's a contrast. The prophet of God speaks about that. Without contrast. If there wasn't a bad one, we wouldn't know what a good one was. He uses the word bad woman. Did you know that? What's the woman a type of? Thank you. So if there wasn't a bad one, we wouldn't know what a good one was. How do we identify what a good church is? Depends on where you came from. Very simple. So let me go here with you. What is truth? Well, let's just get back to the basics. God is a spirit. Now God, G-O-D, the word God is an object of worship. The word G-O-D, listen now, is not eternal. The word G-O-D. The spirit that brought that word into existence is eternal. But he needed to come out of an invisible world that nobody could see, that nobody could comprehend, and begin to condescend down in such a way where the plan that he had so he could fellowship with his children, his attributes could come about. That's what they crucified. They crucified the idea of God wanting to fellowship with himself through his attributes. They thought they could silence it. They thought they could bring it to an end, but they did not comprehend the truth. If they would have just gone back before Pilate would have brought Jesus, he should have said, we're gonna put him on a retainer. I'm going to let him out on bail. I'm going to let him out on his OR, his own recognizance. And then I'm going to do a little background check here. And then I'll make a judgment based upon that. And if he would have just went back into the book of John just a little further, Jesus said, I am the way.
the truth. He wouldn't have had to have asked the question. What is truth? He was truth. He was the way. He was life. And if he would have just read that simple scripture, Pilate, and came to a revelation of what was being conveyed, he would have not crucified him and delivered him up. Why? Because he's life. You can't kill that. So, brothers and sisters, there's something inside of us this morning. If we've been born again of the word seed of God, and the Spirit of God has come down on that and activated, there's something in us that says, he in me is the power to lay this life down. Now, what is eternal life? What is it? It's living for others. And in order to live for others, something's got to die. What's got to die? You and me got to die to live for others. Oh, no, brother. I want to keep it for myself or to myself. I don't have enough to give out. Then you're from the wrong side of the tracks. Because this is life. And I'm not going to make anybody in here feel bad this morning, but I want you to ponder this. Do you have eternal life? Do you live for others? I'm not talking about a grandma living for her granddaughter. That's easy. I'm talking about you and I doing things outside of our normal circle. Like, I have need to go to Samaria. Well, what are you going to Samaria for? We need groceries. We're going to go shopping. That's really what the disciples were going to do, go buy food. He said, you go get the natural food. I got some other groceries I got to deliver. I'm going to take it down to the well because I know by being God manifest in the flesh that there is one of mine over at the well and she's pondering her life right now. You've had five. And the one you're with is not yours. How in the world did that guy know that? How did he know that I was sitting on my front porch? Pondering my own life. There's more to us than meets the eye. I can tell you that right now. Right? And I'm preaching to you on Easter. Wait until I get to the quote. But I want to just paint this picture so easy. It's not one of those pictures, you know, that's of the aspen trees like they do where I live. And then you got to study it real close. Oh, there's a deer in there. There's an elk in there. There's a mountain lion in there. I never saw that before. No, this is plain. In plain view. So we realize that God's plan required him to begin to come down out of the invisible eternity that he dwelt in. And he had to institute time, which, by the way, is our worst enemy. It's fighting some of you right now. Man, he's been up there for 20 minutes, hasn't he? Well, I don't have a lifesaver and I don't have a button. But I love God's word. It changed my life. Changed my life. I didn't realize that there was a Spirit of God until I listened to the word of God. Now, remember something about a seed. Here, I'll pick this piece of paper. I usually bring a big old avocado seed to the pulpit. And the reason I do is because it's a large seed and you could see it. And I like avocados, so I ate whatever it was covering it.
Okay, right.
That's why he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. But I'll use this piece of paper. Every seed, listen careful. And we know that the spoken word is the original seed. So I want to get, every seed has a life in it, and it is the life of the seed. But without the Spirit, it just lays dormant. It's got life in it. It's got its own life in it. But it lays dormant unless it comes in contact with the way God ordained it to spring forth. That's why Romans 8 says, if the Spirit
be in you. That was the spirit that was in the man we know as Jesus, who said, I have the power to lay my life down. For this cause came I into the world. You tear this temple down, and in 3 days. Do you know when they were mocking and scourging and whipping and kicking and spitting on and pulling his beard, they were trying to destroy the temple? We see Jesus on these pictures in the cross, and of course he's pretty haggard looking. The Mel Gibson thing that the brother talked about, the Passion of the Christ. I mean, that's pretty horrible. Yeah. But the prophet of God told us you couldn't recognize him as a man. Even his ribs were sticking out of his skin. Right. And I know what that does to people. They go, oh my goodness, that man gave his life. Yeah. But did you realize who was doing it? You say it was God. Oh, the Spirit of God left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane because the Spirit of God cannot die. It's eternal. It had no beginning. It'll have no end. So it had to remove itself from that body. And that body was a human body in such a way where when he got to the Garden of Gethsemane, as Brother Dutch said, and he saw what was coming, he jumped and ran. He gave up. He said, I can't do it. He realized that the task was nearly insurmountable. I don't think I can do it. I want to do it, but I don't think I can do it. But something way down. Where did that come from? The Spirit of God had already left him. Where did that come from? Where did that thing way down on the inside of that man rise up and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not my will. Come on now. Not my will. We know the prophet of God pointed out to us, and it's obvious that the death of Calvary happened in Gethsemane. The actual event itself on the cross was just the follow through, the repercussions of the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, which all of us battle. Should I help them or should I not? Do I care or don't I care? Does this matter or does this not matter? And so on and so on and so on, brothers and sisters. But God has made a way for you and I to come through it all.
Amen.
Don't let this shock you now, but it's because he knew you. I see the ministry from time to time began to discuss in different forums and platforms whether there was anything in you or not. And we have quotes to go both ways. But what it boils down to is here's what's in you, but you don't know it's in you because you're looking for something tangible. You're looking for something through the telescope, the microscope. You're looking for something that you can get a hold of and you can't touch foreknowledge. You can't touch it. God saw you. That's what he's calling to come to him. You don't need that tangibility in you. You don't need that substance. What you need is faith. Faith is the activator. Brother Branham said God, when he said let there be light, had to believe his own word. He had to place faith in it. Why? Because he instituted the law of faith. That's the reason why Brother Branham said many a streetwalker could come through the prayer line because of a type of faith that they had and receive their healing, and a good, sanctified, godly woman would come to the line and get nothing. It's powerful. How is that possible? All things are possible.
Amen.
See, you've got to believe. You've got to put all your confidence. I'm going to say it like this. You've got to pour all your life into what you believe, and Amen. It matters what you believe.
Amen. Amen.
So you want to put it in God's Word.
Right. Amen.
Because God's Word has God's life in it. But it doesn't stop there. That's why I reiterated to you in Romans, but if the Spirit... And brothers and sisters, a lot of us walk around through life with the seed of God in us, but never allow it to be activated. Oh, don't worry, I'm not preaching to you Pentecost.
Yeah, there you go.
But I am preaching to you that Malachi 4 says he'll turn the hearts right. of the children back right. to the Pentecostal fathers, Amen. Not the denomination,
no. right.
but to the activation of right. the life.
Amen.
That's the key. Now, the seed that was meant for the people of the day we live in was the seed that God saved. Remember that the very first seed of any plant or tree, I'll use the apple tree, is that all right? The very first seed that God ever planted of the first apple tree had every apple tree in it. After that, it had every apple, it had every seed, it had every leaf, it had every limb, it had every root. You catch that? We can see that. What about when God plants a seed? When God planted the seed that was Him, it had every son and daughter that would ever come. That's why He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Because the first seed that was planted had all of God in it. After that, it began to blossom and sprout with the life of God, but the original seed. Is where it all came from. And we are taught by the prophet that in the day you and I live in, we're back. First shall be last. And the last shall be first. Where did God keep this? In Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He kept it in the back part of his mind. Moses didn't realize it at the time because he didn't live in the time you and I did. But when he wanted to see God and God showed him his back, God was showing him the beginning. That seed was there. Moses was in God at the beginning, but Moses in time was not produced at the beginning. Do you realize that the fall in the Garden of Eden and what Satan did through the serpent was Satan believing in himself so much that he could plant an alternative seed, mix it, and come forth. Listen now, as Christ. Where did he miss it? The germ come from the male. The field is the church. That's why when the prophet of God came in the 20th century, his battle was to get the field to see. Stop that seed, stop that seed, stop that seed, stop that. Don't take that, don't take that, don't take that. Here. Here's the original seed. Take this, take this, take this.
Amen.
And we realize through the ages that many, many, many people. And again, Brother Branham, I can quote you. He said, they're not lost. Don't say they're lost. Goes back to Martin Luther and John Wesley and so forth. They're not lost. He said, they played their part. But there is a time where there is a people who will not accept anything but all the Word of God. They will cast down their reasoning. They will cast down everybody else's reasoning. And it doesn't, watch now, it doesn't make you an isolationist.
No, it doesn't.
That's what a lot of people end up, though.
Oh, yeah.
All by themselves.
Yeah.
Out there on that island. You've heard me say it before. You know the guy that was shipwrecked?
Yeah.
And they finally came to rescue him years and years later?
Yep.
One guy on the island. I know it. I use the one about get your own dirt.
Yeah.
They finally show up years later. And there's three huts. Three little huts on the island.
hey, I thought you were shipwrecked by yourself. Well, I am. Well, what's that over there? He says, that's where I live. He says, what's that? He says, that's my church. Well, what's this other little hut? That was my church before I built that one. It was my former church. He didn't even get along with himself. And that's what some of the problem is. We just don't get along with ourselves. That's why the Word of God, through the message of the hour, is to inform you, is to reveal to you, is to give you a personal revelation of who you are by where you came from. Because once you know and are convinced that you came from God, then you do have the power.
Amen.
Through that revelation,
amen,
to lay your life down. Now, we're thinking of the tomb, of death, of Calvary, of crucifixion.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, take up your cross.
Right.
He didn't say, take up your cross and nail yourself to it and die like me. He said, take up your cross. Follow me.
Right. Amen.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
So we realize that I'm watching the clock, see? I don't know. Leave it alone. I'll finish my thoughts that I have on this page. Only got one and a half pages of notes.
You're good.
But I like inspiration.
Yes.
I like notes. I admire the men that can get them gadgets and they can just, and they got their message down there and they scroll up and they can see that and they, but that's not me. God is a spirit. Is that right? Now, if we would turn to our Bibles, everybody knows these scriptures. I'm going to read them. I know the brothers put them up on the board. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start there, and really, the title of my message is Resurrection by Representation. Well, let's see what really was crucified and what really resurrected. Of course, the man rose from the dead, but that man was busy working while everybody thought he was dead. As I mentioned yesterday, it was the seventh day that he was doing that work. And denominationalism and the thought of denomination. And how many knows what the word denomination means? Really? Do you really know? I'm going to tell you what it means. Now, Brother Wade, do you carry any money? Who's got a dollar, a $5 bill, a $10? Give me a $100. No, I'm just... That would be the wrong kind of evangelism. If somebody's got a bill in their pocket. Thank you, brother. That's all I need. See, he's a good man. He gave me one. And that's because George Washington's on it. Now, the word denomination, brother. Now, how many knows, the older folk in here are going to know this. Some of you young people are going to learn some today. This is a denominational note. Did you know that's what this is called? Now, it has nothing to do with church. But it is called a denominational note. What is the denomination of this note? We say it's $1. But where they got the word denomination from, if you break it down in Latin, is the value of a name. So they put George Washington worth a buck. You say, wait a minute, he was the first president. That's right, it's number one. He was the first president. He was probably one of the greatest presidents. But they knew that more people would have the $1 bills than Andrew Jackson's. The common people would be more likely to have this note than the 50 or the 100, especially back in time when that was like $1 million. This is a $1 denominational note. So what it means is the value to the Federal Reserve of George Washington is a buck. Do you know why I said all that? Because it's the value of a name. Where do denominations start from? They start from man who puts a lot of emphasis and a lot of authority and a lot of respect and so forth on somebody. And that somebody can die. That don't stop the spirit. Martin Luther died and boom, the Lutheran church come up. John Wesley died and the Methodist church come up. Brother Seymour, from the Azusa Street Mission died, that didn't stop the Pentecostal movement. But what is the difference between
a denomination and true eagle Christianity. It's based on one man. But that one man is not conveying his thoughts. He's conveying the thoughts of God, and that's what they crucified. They thought they could silence God's voice. Look at the world we live in. Why do you think there's coming an attack on Christianity? Because they know, Satan knows, they have no clue. They're just minions. They're just being used by Satan to be raised up in a certain thought process to stop Christianity, because Christianity is the only hope. Not denominational Christianity, true eagle Christianity. Because it emanated from a source they cannot touch. Only you and I, as believers, who are willing to submit and subject ourselves to it, have access. I'll tell you what, I could dance a little bit. If I didn't have an artificial knee, I'd get crazy. But I don't want another one. So I'm afraid that I'll have to get another one. Have you ever seen one of them, their YouTube videos of them replacing a knee? They jump on top of you with a sledgehammer and a chisel and a wrench, and they separate the lower leg from the upper one. They drill holes in your bone marrow, and they take something that looks like a rebar, Brother Donnie, and they glue it down in there, to the bottom and the top, and then they connect this stainless steel ball to it. I was in more pain watching than I was participating. And sometimes that's the way it is. Think about it. Our mind goes to a certain place. Oh, I can't do it. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That was way more painful. Now you say, well, no, Calvary was in the man. It was way more difficult. Once he became satisfied that that was his portion of God's work for him, he said, thy will. Let thy will be done. But remember something. The word God, G-O-D, an object of worship, was brought into existence because before that he was known as what we call Elohim, the self-existent one. A lot of folks and a lot of churches and a lot of ministries try to maintain Elohim. It's us or nobody. That's not the way God operates. He says it's me and everybody. It's us. Let us make man. You know, I'm not going to read it to you, but you go a little bit below what is truth, and you'll find out that Pilate said, behold, the man. That was the man that was produced by Genesis 1, 26 and 7. God was the thought. Can you see my thoughts? I can't see yours, and I can tell by the expression on some of your faces. Some good, some indifferent, some bad. But I don't know exactly what you're thinking. You don't know exactly what I'm thinking. So if I want you to understand or be able to comprehend and absorb and digest my thought that you cannot see, I must speak. Now, if I'm a liar, my thoughts are lies. If I'm a sinner, my thoughts are sinful. But if you've been born again, the power of transformation begins to, what? By the renewing of the mind. It begins to change. Somehow it begins to change the way you think. Now, it's not in an instant the way you and I. It's a lifetime of change. It was Abraham walking for 25 years. Abraham, by proof of Ishmael, had what it took in his body to produce the promise, but his church had not quite got there yet.
Amen.
At what point did Abraham's church, Sarah, come to the conclusion that she could fulfill the promise? She was changed in such a way where the Pharaoh said, "Ooh, hoo, hoo, she's mine." She hadn't looked in a mirror until she got into Pharaoh's palace. Because they had mirrors, you know. And she looked and said, "Whoa, who is that? This is the person that he wants for his wife? Abraham, get me out of here. I've got what it takes now to produce the promised son."
Yep. Amen.
And God intervened.
Amen.
Don't touch her. Because if you even try, you die. God, see, is always, he's an, I like, I Sister Regina, I bet you could sing this for me. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said, he might not be there when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Because he's an on-time God. That's why we're here this morning. Did you realize that you are fulfilling the on-time God? So he, as a thought, as a spirit, as the great mind, we call him, because we don't really know how else to express or explain it. He began to speak and he said, "Let there be and let there be and let there be." Now, guess what the spoken word really is? It is his son. See, we think of the human body as his son, but if you'll go to first the epistle of 1 John 5, what does it say there? 1 John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now in verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh." So they thought they were crucifying the Word. Satan was motivating them to stop God. Come on. You ain't going to stop God. You ain't going to stop God's Word. But the carrier, the conduit, the vehicle, the one that God chose. The conduit he chose in the 20th century was killed in a car accident. Satan said, "I stopped it. On Calvary, I stopped it." He didn't stop nothing. He just motivated. He didn't realize, but he just motivated. He inspired. Here's what he did. Watch. As I mentioned to you about Levi being activated in the loins of Abraham, when that car accident took place, what Satan didn't know was there was an activation of life. Why? Because a corn of wheat abideth alone unless it falls into the ground and dies. And if it dies and there is life in it, it will bring forth after its kind. I got a little kickback right there. Oh, well, he's trying to be the prophet. Oh, no. I'm not trying to be the prophet. I'm not trying to be Jesus Christ. He lives in here. I'll tell you what we are. Did you hear me say it yesterday? We are the burning bush. Did you realize that? And as the fire of God burns in your heart, perhaps there will be a Moses out there somewhere that will turn aside and say, "What do you got? Who did you say you were? What do you believe?" I believe he's an on-time God.
Amen.
I believe he's good all the time. I believe he saves by grace. Listen now. Here's the part they leave out. Through faith. That's not the end of that scripture. You are saved by grace through faith. You must have a revelation of what the grace of God truly is, and the grace of God is unmerited favor. How did we end up then, Brother Luis, in the condition of salvation if it was unmerited favor and our neighbor who's 10 times better than we are doesn't? It's because of foreknowledge. See, foreknowledge is still here. That's why it's looking forward that sees the past, not looking back. Brother Brennan said a frog looks back. And when a frog looks back, he sees a triune being. When a child of God looks forward, they see God. You know, I believe this. Now, it's not a doctrine. It's just the way I feel that this new telescope, the James Webb Super Telescope, is sent out there 1 million miles. 1 million miles out in space, and it's static. And it's sending out, and it's receiving, and it's taking pictures. It's looking around. What are they looking for? If you'll read, and Christ is revealed in his own word, right where Brother Branham mentions Einstein on the next page, he says, now they're going to take the, and they're going to look out there. And they think they're looking 100 million light years or so out there. He says, and they're going to find out they're just looking at the backs of themselves. But that's what the mechanical eye that took the picture of the pillar of fire. But the pillar of fire itself is the life, not the picture.
No.
So what God wants you and I to do is become the activated germ seed of God to produce his word in its season. And the season right now is rapture. And rapture has requirements. It requires a change of the body. Now those people that have gone on before us are waiting for the resurrection. What I want the bride of Christ to realize today through the preaching of the word of God and the quoting of it and the understanding and revelation of it is the resurrection lays in you. If you are an end time, on time, seed of God. And they are rooting for you. Because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Oh, when they went beyond the curtain of time, they seemed like they was perfect. Oh, no, they was lacking something. They didn't eat. They didn't drink. They didn't get tired. Brother Branham said they didn't have the feeling that you and I have. He hugged them sisters. No, there was no sensation. But when a son and daughter of God hug each other, it's like... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you fellas be hugging no ladies now except your wife. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't get the wrong idea. But you understand when I hug a brother, it's like, doesn't it feel, we got this.
Yeah.
And then three brothers get together and pray in the room, we got this.
Yeah.
And then six brothers get together and hold hands and begin to pray, we got this.
Yeah.
What a fellowship.
Yeah.
What a joy divine.
Yeah.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed peace. What a joy is mine.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to finish?
Come on. Hallelujah.
It went from the thought of God. In the beginning was the Word. Now listen. I want you to go to, the if you care to 1 John. That's the epistles of John, just previous to the book of Revelation. You all know these scriptures. But I just want to put the puzzle together today so that those of you who have not seen this picture before can go, I better sit down and consider this. Maybe we ought to look a little deeper into this. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father..." Watch now. The Word. So there's where we know that the Word is the Son, and it's the S-O-N by the characteristic of a spirit that can't be seen, which is the Father, investing itself into an entity that can be tangible. That's the Word. And then the Holy Ghost, most people don't realize, is the author of the Word. So the Holy Ghost, watch now, authored the Son.
Yeah, sure. Right.
What is the the Holy Ghost. It's the office of God whereby he is not fulfilling the invisible spirit. And he is not indwelling in the Word. He is himself.
Amen.
Think about it. Okay, I am a triune being, you're a triune being. I am a father because I have children. I am a son because I have a father, and I'm me. The me part in type is the Holy Ghost. Why would people be afraid of the Holy Ghost? It's because they've been taught through psychology and education and academia that you could be somebody else. But God's Word teaches you who you really are. And in closing, that's what the world is trying to crucify. They're not crucifying Jesus Christ again. They're crucifying the Son of God in the form of the Word. They want to stop that Word. Why? Why does Satan want to stop that Word? Why did they try to kill? Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did they try to kill the children in the days of Moses? Why did they try to kill the children in the days of Jesus? Why are they killing children today? It's because Satan is trying to stop that last seed. He was trying to stop the original seed. Jesus Christ came, busted down the door and said, I'm him. Give me those keys. You're done.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But what Satan didn't know is 2,000 plus years were going to have to go by so that God's plan could fulfill itself, not just in the Son, but in his bride. And we were in him. That's why in the image of God, these two shall be one, both male and female. So they're really trying to crucify. Watch now. Watch the world in its spirit. Watch how they're trying to attack the children, born or unborn, through the woman. Because Satan reads the prophecy in Genesis and says, it's a woman's seed. I'm going to stop the woman's seed. Dummy. I'll tell you right now, Fred Sanford said you a dummy. My wife squinted. Don't. Before I was saved, I grew up in front of a television.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, my first message I ever preached was called Rock of Ages. I come out of rock and roll, Brother Donnie. And I could see the inspiration. I'm telling you, the inspiration of God on gifted men who went astray. In my generation, it was John Lennon. Gifted. Wrote music that got millions of people to be drawn in. With simple phrases, brother, like, she loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Help. I need somebody. Think about it. See, those were gifts being misused.
Right. That's right, brother.
Amen.
For the wrong glory.
Yes,
right. Why wouldn't we be willing to accept the gifts that God would use for his glory?
Why?
I believe I heard several of them before service up here singing and worshiping. But the hardest thing for God to do, did you know there was something hard for God? No, brother, nothing's too hard for God. But the hardest thing for God to do is to get one mortal man to believe another. Because you're all sitting out there going, you guys know better than me. No, I'm not. I'm chiefest, or I'm the guy under Paul. Paul said he's chiefest. I can't take anything away from Paul.
Yeah.
Right? Brother Branham said he taught what Paul taught.
Yes, he did.
There shouldn't be any question. When you read something Paul said, that's it. No, well, Brother Branham changed it over. He didn't change nothing. He magnified many things because that's what we're doing today. We're not changing the gold into silver. We're just polishing the gold so you can see your reflection in it. The James Webb Super Telescope's mirrors are made out of
gold.
the most reflective and conductive item we know of.
Yep.
Oh, what a conductor.
Yes.
What a reflection.
Yes. Amen.
And here's the beautiful thing, Brother Donnie, about God's Word and us as His children. When we look into the gold of God's mirror,
yep,
we don't see ourselves.
No.
But like Sarah looking in Pharaoh's mirror, we see a changed individual.
Amen.
I'm not what I want to be.
Right.
And I'm not what I ought to be. But I surely ain't what I used to be. But at some point, that saying is going to come to an end in the days of Ananias and Sapphira.
Yes, it will.
There will only be one kind of believer in the church.
Amen.
Now there's three kinds. But at some point in time, there will only be, and they might be just dragging themselves like carrying their cross.
Yeah. Sure.
And sometimes they need a little help. Jesus needed a little help carrying his cross.
Right.
He just couldn't. His physical body, brother, just couldn't make it.
Right.
He just, he was 120 pounds probably by the time he got to Calvary, 110. It collapsed. But he's an on-time God. Simon. How could? He didn't think. He didn't consider the consequences. He knew the Romans were kicking and scourging and mocking and beating and stabbing and pushing and shoving the people out of the way. Didn't stop Simon. God is good. In closing, it went from a thought to a word, which is the Son, and now it has become manifest in the flesh. They couldn't crucify the Word. They could only pervert it. They could not stop God. They could not kill a spirit they cannot see or touch. So they picked on the vehicle. Don't feel bad when you picked on. He carried the cross of the world on his shoulders. And he rose from the dead. We all know that, the world's, but what I want you to receive this morning is the resurrected Christ is in the building. He's in the buildings. And he's bringing together a mystical body, which is the body of Christ, as I heard Brother Luis say, and he's the head. And if the head rises, the body rises with it. Can these dry bones live? Guaranteed. Please stand. Man, I did all that without even reading this quote that I want to read to you. Now, here's the deal. It's a long quote, so I'm going to give you where I got it from, if that's okay. And then you can read it yourself. But I'll start at paragraph 46. Now, notice he says the very essence of this resurrection is to tell and to show and to prove. That's why I picked the three subjects. That Jesus is raised up from the dead. He's not dead. He's a living.
Amen.
When it looked like he was in the tomb on Saturday, which was the seventh day, God sent a messenger to the seventh church age that began to prove, to show, and to tell that he was raised from the dead, and his name was William Marion Branham. We do not believe he was God. We believe he was of thy servants, our fellow brothers.
Right.
But he was so close that John decided he might try to bow down and worship him in the book of Revelation. He says, don't do it. There's a quote, and I believe it's in the Patmos vision, where Brother Bram said they kick and knock you around today, but he said someday they'll bow down at your feet and worship you. Now, we're not looking for worship. We don't want self-worship. We don't want self-satisfaction. What we want is a living God. Jesus is raised up from the dead. He's not dead. He's a living. He lives here. He's in us. I'll be with you, even in you, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. Now, as Christians, we all claim he is alive. Or we've been quickened from life, from death to life, by his Spirit. And if he haven't been quickened, if we haven't been quickened, then we've not been made alive. That's why we say stay with the word, stay with the word, stay with the word, because it is what is going to be quickened. But don't you dare deny the Spirit of God when it begins to rain down upon that seed. Now, it rains upon the just and the unjust. We can't help it if people go nuts. We can't help it if they act crazy. We can't help it if they don't have this seed in them, but the water is watering what's in them. That's the anointed ones at the end time. It's the true anointing. It's the true rain. But what it falls on is what's going to make the difference. And let me tell you folks something. When the seed of God through the Word of God is living in you, which is the Son of God, and the Spirit comes down, it will raise Christ from the dead. Did you realize that's me and you? We're part. Sorry, everybody's already standing. Nope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, yes, we could continue to preach, Lord, for eons. There's no stopping point, Lord, in you. You who have no beginning and has no end, and Lord, where are we going to find a place to stop? When what you have informed us of, Lord, through the preaching of the word, through the delivery of the word, and through the Spirit falling on that word, Lord, that now we've come to that final office. 3. Perfection. It's the day of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We can't take the Father and the Son out because those were offices that the Holy Ghost itself filled, which only can mean, Lord, that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit that we call Elohim. No beginning, no end. And Father, we use the word self-existent one because we don't understand what it means, Lord, not to be in a beginning. Lord, we believe we began, Lord. But the Word of God, through the presence of God, through the Spirit of God, had no beginning. You were speaking to your attributes, Lord, before there was even a molecule to live in. But how, Lord? It had to be through the agency of your thoughts. That's why they thought the prophet of God was a mind reader. But he wasn't, Lord. He was being used by you and your foreknowledge to go through the land and cry out to the rocks, which became seeds, which came forth, began to produce the results, Lord, that you desired to see before anybody could see anything. I pray you'd help us this morning, Lord, to recognize that the resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago or so, Lord, exists amongst us today. In the hearts of your children, Lord, so difficult for us to comprehend, Father, where it came from. Nicodemus, Lord, had no idea that when Jesus said, the wind comes and it goes where it wants to, and you have no idea where it comes from, that he was referring to a life. And it's without question here this morning, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us in the broadest sense, Lord. You've given us so much more than they've had in the past, Lord. It's the information age, Father, because the information is available. But it's not to be dissected, Lord, through the intellect. Is to be received in the heart, because you said as we receive the word, we become the word. I pray, Father, for each and every one in here this morning. If there's one sick person, Lord, the Holy Spirit right now, the healing virtue that in the beginning knew it was a healer. Father, that great Holy Spirit, I pray now, Lord, that it would touch everybody, Lord, here or within the sound of our voice, Father. Anyone that's in need, Father, of any kind, Lord, if they're being tormented, if they're oppressed or depressed, Lord, if they're not sure who they are this morning, Father, make them sure, Lord, I pray. Let it be firm in their soul. Because we just want to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In the precious name, the name given above every name, the name that was concluded to be both Lord and Christ, the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brother Luis. God bless you. Happy Easter.
Amen.
He is risen.
Oh, bright as this day, this glorious day.
There's never been a day.
Thank you, Brother.
There's never.
Never been a day like the day you're standing in right now.
Like this day
to me, there has
never been a day like this day I see.
The advancement of man. We talk about light. I know when Dad was growing up, and some of your older ones was growing up, it was a little candle. And he talks about doing his homework over it. We always call them a hurricane lamp. It's just a little lamp with some kerosene in it. It's got a little wick in it, and you got to do your class lessons right there at it but it was light. It was light. Then a little bit longer, there was a bulb. Gave a little bit more light. I know Brother George remembers, we used to go in those old houses and there'd be one light bulb hanging down. And you couldn't see nothing 10 feet past that bulb. Well, now we have LED light. That one little bitty pin light or a laser light will light the whole place up. Well, I hope that we know one thing's for sure, that same way with God.
Amen.
We could only see him by candlelight. But there was way more of him to see.
Yes.
Then there was a light bulb came on. Hello, somebody.
Yes,
there was a light bulb came on.
Yes, right.
You got to see a little bit more.
Yes. Right.
Now you get to see him in LED. You get to see him in a light you've never seen him before.
Yes.
And I hope when that light turns on, you see Jesus Christ first, but you're going to see him in your brother and your sister. You're going to see him. As you, most of you know that go to church here, I've been doing a series on the Statue of Perfect Man, part 99. Well, we read that scripture in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Most people, their mind goes back to 2,000 years ago to that man. Yeah, it started with that man. But the Word's being made flesh today in me and you. That Word that you took in today is going into your flesh. And then your flesh is going to be motivated by what's inside. You're either going to do right or you're going to do wrong. It's whatever the motivating factor is. So, but good to have you, each and every one of you here. Let's give Brother Chris another hand. That was a good load. We sure appreciate Brother Chris. Appreciate his stand for the message. Appreciate the group they have out there in Flagstaff. And he's just a solid guy I can lean on, you know. So we really come to love him and appreciate him. And I hope you do, too. And I hope you tell him that you appreciate him coming and being with us. It's been a wonderful weekend. Sometimes people don't like three services on the weekend, but you'll go to three ball games a week. Watch your kid play, and you'll scream and shout, and your grandkids, which never do anything wrong, you'll scream and shout about them all the time. Let's do the same thing with the Word of God. We got to start putting our priorities right. Because if we don't put our priorities right, guess what? We put something in front of God. So I want to put my worship with God, not my worship of something else in front of God. Amen? I tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have another song. We're going to let the group come back up here and sing again. We sure appreciate Sister Christine and Sister Trudy for bringing the youth together. And I appreciate the youth for wanting to. Amen. Amen. For wanting to be able to sing. So let's have a seat. They're going to sing one more song for us. We've been listening to them all weekend. Let's listen to them one more time. I hope it blesses your soul. I've been touched by a fire.
Changed my life, his name be lifted high, his holy fire's burning inside of me. Jesus has changed my life, his name be lifted high, his holy fire's burning inside of me. I cannot hold it inside, I cannot keep it quiet, his holy fire's burning inside of me. I cannot hold it inside, I cannot keep it quiet. His holy fire's burning inside of me. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard.
Moses thought he found him in a burning bush. There was a lick of fire on the day of Pentecost. It never was put out. It's always going to be in somebody. Y'all may have your seat again because Sister Regina is going to open up for us here in just a second and sing a song for us, if that's all right. What else you got to do? If you're hungry, chew on your knuckles for a few minutes. Come on, Sister Regina, sing a song for us. We're playing this whole weekend. These musicians, they've done a wonderful job playing for us, so we sure appreciate that.
I'll be quick. I think I'd be amiss, or we would be amiss, if we didn't drop this song into this weekend that we've been so blessed to have. Yeah. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Yeah. Think on it.
Yeah.
Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with my Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. For in his arms I feel protected. In his arms I'm never disconnected. In his arms I feel protection. There is no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. 'Cause it's in his arms we are so protected. In his arms, you'll never be disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There is no other place you should be but there. Thank you.
Good job. All minds clear. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for pouring your heart out, each and every one of you that sang, preached, and just walked through the door. There's a lot of people who didn't get up this morning. Right? There's a lot of people. Millions of people in this 8 billion person world never saw the sun come up. But I hope they saw the sun come up inside of them before the real sun came up. That's what I ask you today. Don't let the sun, don't let the natural sun go down on you till you know that the spiritual part, the Son of God, dwells in your heart. Because we're not guaranteed a day, a breath, a moment. So this Easter Sunday, reflect on one thing. There had to be a death before there could be life. And thank God for that. You know, it would be good to give you life for your kids, or I'd give my life for Brother Chris. But you know what? There's nothing inside of me that's good enough that when I did die, I could go into Chris and make him better. One man can do that. Only one. Only one man had that kind of spirit inside of him. That's what he's talking about, Adam. Adam thought he could save Eve. Well, he didn't save her like that because he wasn't her savior. He was a son of God. He could cover her. He could protect her. But he didn't save her. There was only one savior. One man. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. Being God Almighty in the human flesh. He put that flesh aside. But guess what? He rose. At the third day, he came back out of that grave to do one thing, go inside of his people. And as Brother Chris said, to birth himself into his children. There's only one man can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's eternal. And if we connect ourselves to that, as old Brother Ernie Villanueva, Lord bless his soul, may he rest, he said, we plugged ourselves into the eternal. We got unplugged in the garden. But we now, by the new birth, we got ourselves plugged back into that eternal strand, that eternal cord, and that's what we live off of. We live off of that power of his resurrection. That we can have a resurrection, the Bible tells us, into newness of life, as we do in the baptismal service. We resurrect in newness of life. I pray that your life from now on will be new. And that you'll think more about the Lord, pray more, study more, have more of a fervor, because I was telling him the other day, Brother Chris, people think we're strange and we isolate ourselves. We don't. We just speak a different language. If I went to China, I'm not Chinese. I don't speak. I could learn it, but I wouldn't learn it fluently as the person that spoke it from birth. Hello, somebody spoke it from birth. Through birth, we realize that we speak a different language. Amen? So we're speaking a different language now than the world speaks, a different thought process. That's why they didn't like Jesus. That's why they didn't like the disciples. It's because they were different. But they were made different by what was inside of them. And I was telling the other day, Brother Chris, if you took 20 people out in the world, just brought 20 people off the street, set them in here today and let them listen to your sermon or any sermon with enlightenment or more light, they'd think you're crazy. What do you mean talking about a seed and talking about this and talking about that? They just don't speak our language. But I pray to God that that language would be so simple, though, that you'll be able to understand it. The common people heard his message gladly. The common people, the dollar bill people, not the $50 bill people, the dollar bill people, heard him gladly. So good to be here today. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for giving up your time to be here this weekend for the 3 days that we had, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The only thing, we got Brother Dale's birthday next Sunday afternoon. For those of you that come here, we'll be having cake and ice cream afterwards. And also remember, we got a July meeting, which will be the weekend of July 1st and 2nd. We'll have Brother Joel Forney and Brother Mike Altig will be with us that weekend. That'll be our 52nd anniversary meeting for that weekend. So that's the next one coming up. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We thank you for participating and being a part of this church. We good to see Brother Sonny and his wife and Sister Rita with us, and all the ones that were here, Brother Roger and Sister Chi, good to have them with us. And we pray that you'll take the Lord with you, take the name of Jesus. We're going to pray, and then you'll be dismissed. Well, there'll be no second service, and we'll just go fellowship with your friends and your family and be with them and tell them how your fire got lit.
Yes.
Tell them how your light got turned on.
Amen.
Take that top off and let God show to this world that He's still alive. He's still alive in His people. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank You for this day You've given us. Thank You for the time that we've had, Lord, to listen to the Word of God being brought by soldiers of God that, Lord, knows what they're talking about. Lord, through You, as Chris was talking about, we're the only ones that truly know Your mind because we went back in there with Brother Branham. We went back in the back part of Your mind, and now this is unfolding exactly what You wanted to see had there not been a fall. Sons and daughters of God, worshiping You and listening to Your word, Father, and let it be made manifest in each one of us. Lord, there's some that come from long distances. We pray that You just be with them, Lord, as they travel back home. Be with Brother Chris and Sister Joanna, Lord, as they continue on, Lord, and head home there by Thursday. We pray that You'd be with them, Lord. Be with each one that's here, Lord, under the sound of our voice, that they'll reflect on what happened this weekend, Lord, and it be not just another service or another calendar day or another holiday or even a holy day, Lord. Every day should be a resurrection. Every day should be a day that we take up our cross and follow You, Lord. I pray that You'd bless each one, Lord. Take care of us. Lead us and guide us by Your Holy Spirit as we come back together, Lord, on Wednesday night. And the ones that are in different fellowships of where they're going to be, Lord, I pray that You'd be with each one. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Ooh, take up your cross.
Take up